Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up. As young professionals ourselves, we're constantly striving to connect and uplift young people in the Toledo community. Our podcast is featuring young entrepreneurs and professionals in the area from all different industries and walks of life who are making an impact in Toledo.
We're excited to have our guests discuss their background, their education and training, and give any advice for other young professionals like us. We're also going to take a look at varying pop culture trends among Gen Zers like ourselves and discuss or debunk them, maybe even a little Roman Empire.
You know what I've been thinking about?
What, girl?
I have been thinking about how romantic it is to take a ride on the bus.
Okay.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Getting a book, putting on your headphones, looking out the window and contemplating every single thing you've never gotten over in your life.
Mysterious.
Literally just being mysterious on the bus. Like, it's so, so delicious. I love it.
I love that for you.
And you know what? Wow. I think we should do it together sometime.
Okay.
But what bus?
Right. I think we maybe have a guest here today, and he maybe does know a thing or two about public transportation and how to get around Toledo.
We have the lovely Alex Huffaker in studio with us today.
Hello.
What's up? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm thriving, as for you.
Good. You guys look great.
Oh, so do you.
Thank you.
Loving the little zip up. For y'all who can't see, Alex looks so slay right now.
Thank you. It's my classic go-to.
I love it. Well, yeah, we want to dive right in and get to what makes you you and your involvement in Toledo. So, Libby, kick us off.
Yeah. Let's get into your background. Give us the rundown.
Okay, so I went to a small private school in Monclova.
Monclova.
I grew up in Swanton, and for our out-of-towners, that's like a suburb of a suburb of Toledo.
Really?
Just very
What's
in the corn.
What's the phrase for it? Like Swantucky or something?
Swantucky.
Yeah, I love it. Swantucky.
It's very in the corn. So yeah, definitely grew up like kind of farm life-ish, raised chickens, all that stuff. I really had a heart for the city of Toledo, like, region. So a lot of times I would go into Toledo to spend time with friends. And I mean, as we all grew up relatively in this surrounding area, we understand, like, you go to the more fun areas when you were growing up. That's what initially kind of introduced me more to Toledo, just getting more involved in doing more fun things. And then Franklin Park Mall became like the big thing. Like, once you're like 15, that's where you are
your
going.
Your parents drop you off before you have your license, and then you just like walk around with your friends. Yeah, it was the spot.
Yes, get some Jamba Juice.
Literally.
Some Auntie Anne's.
Absolutely.
Oh, that sounds so good right now.
A little snack, a little stroll. It was, you know, you never felt cooler than at Franklin Park Mall.
Right.
But, you know, you decided to go to the University of Toledo. And I want to know what made you decide to go to that university and what did you study and what else did you get involved in while you were there?
Yes. So I decided to go to the University of Toledo mainly because my sister was going there. And at that point in my life, just graduating high school, I really admired my sister and some of the things she was achieving in her life. And I really wanted to kind of model my college experience kind of around my sister's choice. And she ended up going to a private school at first, but then went to UT. And I remember her saying how much she liked being there. She had a job on campus. And so I realized it was close. And also I kind of wanted to live on campus just to get away from my parents and, you know, have a little bit more independence.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I realized that was close enough for me to, and it's also more affordable for me to like live on campus, study in state, be nearby, because I'm also a family person.
For
so
sure.
I didn't want to move too far. And this was like perfect because it gets me into the city and I could also explore and get to know Toledo more.
For sure.
Yeah. You need that college experience too.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a good pre-adult stepping stone.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell me about what you studied and what extracurriculars you were involved in.
Okay. So this is an interesting thing. So I did for a semester, I was business administration. The keyboard, can't see it. So I did business administration, and that was, again, following my sister's footsteps. She was talking about some of the courses she was taking. She wasn't business admin major, but she was doing similar things.
Gotcha.
And business admin kind of aligned more with what I could see myself doing. Mm-hmm. And so I just really respected her judgment, and she was the one who called it saying, like, she thinks I'd be really great in business. So I just really respected her seeing that for me, and I trusted that. And so I decided to get into business. I loved doing like my intro to business, my marketing, my like Office Suite was, who loves Office Suite? But like I did it. but like intro to business and marketing and poli-sci were some three courses I took my first semester that I really enjoyed. Was I showing up every day to the poli-sci class? No.
So
I regret that. I regret that.
I'll be real with you. The only reason I showed up every day for mine was because we got to watch Parks and Rec for extra credit. So
yeah, we did not.
It was so great. We had pop quizzes on the episodes. Oh. So I got a great education.
No, I mean, I wrote a letter to Bernie Sanders or a paper to Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
So that's what I did.
I wrote one to Marcy Kaptur.
Okay. So. Okay.
Yeah, I also wrote one to Marcy Kaptur. So did our executive producer, Chris. He's nodding over there.
The canon event.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, the letter that you write in poli-sci.
For sure.
So yeah, I did a semester of business admin. And then for the winter semester or the spring semester, I went back home and stayed with my parents for the holiday. Mm-hmm. And then I came back and I just was so unsure what I wanted. And so I remember just like the day I was feeling unsure, switched my major to the Bachelor of Fine Arts program at UT.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, no, like, I'm an arts girly. Like, I want to do the creative things. I want to get hands-on. And I remembered, like, signing up for a sculpting studio, a two-dimensional art studio, like, all of these fun things, art history. And when I saw it on paper, I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, me typed out on paper. Like, I'm going to love this. This is going to be everything I want to do.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of 2020.
Yeah.
So we can imagine what happens.
Oh, no.
So I loved all of these like hands-on things like in the studio, like meeting other artists and learning why they're passionate about doing what they do. And then COVID hit.
And said, bet.
Yeah. And said, oh, you thought you were happy.
Yeah.
Well, it's about to get way
big
worse.
Big storm coming, yeah. Honey.
Right. So not only did I start to realize that it was going to be hard to be an art student during COVID, but I also was starting to get a bit of the like COVID, like the beginning of the pandemic, initial depression,
yeah,
of like, oh, like this is really serious. And like, I don't know what I can do, mm-hmm, to make this better for myself.
Yeah.
And I was also financially struggling. I was working three jobs earlier, the start of the spring semester, mm-hmm, American Eagle, working the IT desk in the Carlson Library.
Hey.
And also I was the main shift lead for the Starbucks at the library as
well. Oh, we know. So, we stalked you a little.
So come get your iced coffee. I got it.
No, literally.
I love it. Yeah.
And so it was so much stress. And again, like 19 years old, freshman in college, so much stress. And I just felt like I was making a decision that was chosen for me. Not to discredit what my sister had in mind for what I could do, but it felt like I was doing something to appeal to someone else's wants,
yeah,
for me.
And sense.
I just felt very disconnected to like the overall goal of why am I doing this?
Sure.
And so I decided to drop out of college and then pursue careers that would advance me and provide me with skills and build off of the skills I already naturally possessed,
yeah,
and help teach me things that I felt you have to learn through work experience.
For sure.
And that's one thing I think I learned through my parents who have not gone to college, is that, you know, there's something to be said for your work experience and your capabilities of your social and verbal capabilities with people and building,
right,
relationships with people can also help you learn so much too.
Oh, yeah, that's paramount.
Yeah, yes. There's some stuff you can't learn without doing, like it can't be taught to you. You just, mm-hmm, have to do it.
You just,
yeah,
have to do it.
And I feel like Libby and I are both like that too. We both like the hands-on, mm-hmm, you know, like task-oriented, making sure that we're people-oriented, mm-hmm, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't learn without doing like anything. It, mm-hmm, doesn't stick.
The ADHD in me will be like, wait, can you say that again 5 times?
All three of us have ADHD. Wait, hold on.
This conversation is gonna be wild.
Yeah,
so stay tuned.
Let's issue an official apology to our editor right now, because I'm so sorry. No, but, you know, what better to learn all of these people person skills than working at Starbucks? So right? Let's jump into that for a second.
Okay.
Because, first of all, I really need to know what your go-to order is and also some coffee hacks, just in general, for our listeners.
Okay. So, first, I will say I don't really drink Starbucks that often anymore, mainly, and we can get into this a little bit later, but I love supporting, like, the local cafes and coffee shops in Toledo because we have some really great places.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel that at local cafes, they do espresso beverages so much justice.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
And unfortunately, I think Starbucks, because it's more of like a quick serve cafe, they don't focus so much on that high of quality, but they do make sure that quick serve beverage is quality enough.
Yeah.
And so that is good for some people, but then for some people who have had it so much, they're like, it's slightly burnt now, so I need to like actually have good coffee.
Got sick of it after a while, I fear. Yeah.
There is such a big difference.
There is. But so my go-to would probably be an iced shaken brown sugar espresso.
Oh, baby, that's mine too.
Or like with, I think it's the one with oat milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I usually get it as a quad espresso.
Love it.
After my own heart.
I need it injected into me.
That's what I walk into work every morning and I go, give me coffee and an IV.
Yes. Like walking around with
it. Literally, like just dragging it.
So those deliverables.
yeah, no, so true.
I love it.
So that's my go-to. And then some coffee hacks, which is actually something like, which is so funny because I guess you could also say this is one of my recent Roman empires, but a coffee hack I would recommend is Cafe Bustelo. Or Bustelo. I can't remember how you say it.
I don't know
but
either.
It's like the yellow
packaging.
Mm-hmm. Brittany Broski recommends it as well. And she said, basically, like, if you sell it out, she's coming to hunt you down. And so I'm so sorry, Brittany Broski, but I do love this now. So I bought it from Aldi. Shout out Aldi. Love you. if you're listening. but it is so rich and bold. It can be used to brew, like, pull shots of espresso and brew lattes and cappuccinos.
Okay,
and
versatility.
And it could also be used as drip coffee.
Right.
So I'm just using my little Keurig reusable K-cup and, like, putting it in there.
Yes.
And have, like, rich, smooth, strong coffee.
I love it.
And all it needs is just a little bit of oat milk creamer, also from Aldi, shout out.
Gorgeous.
And it is delicious. So that is probably my biggest coffee hack I'd recommend right now.
Okay, lovely. Well, y'all heard it here first.
Right.
Come to Alex for the hacks. But Libby also worked as a barista.
So this I went to college in BG, and while I was down there, I worked at Grounds for Thought, and I was also like shift lead manager type. Okay. And I know that for me, like, really affected my outlook on customer service and the customer service industry. And I was wondering if you felt that too through your time at Starbucks.
Yeah. So just some background. I started in like a normal Starbucks store first and then was brought to a campus store.
Mm-hmm.
So I had experience with like the general public and then also with students. And I would say both groups were so interesting and definitely taught me a few things.
Yeah.
I think working for the Starbucks that was in Maumee taught me a lot about just the community. They're very proud of Maumee. I know right now they're not very proud of Maumee because of the construction, but they're very proud of their community and the development that they're seeing.
Yeah.
And it also just showed me that you can help people to realize that you never know what's going on in people's lives. And
mm-hmm.
so honestly, as a barista, I felt like I could provide a little bit of uplift in someone's life. Like they're coming for their morning coffee or their afternoon coffee or their evening coffee. And I just felt that I could actually do something and have a small conversation while I'm making
like
that
latte. Could be the best part of their day.
Or, it could be.
Yeah.
Or you don't know what that conversation could mean to someone who's really growing through a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
So it just really showed me, I think it was the first job that showed me the importance of having that connection with someone because you don't know how much good it'll do the other person.
So then from the coffee life, you transitioned to working from, you know, your desk work and then into TARDA. And then
for those who don't know, the Toledo Area Regional Transit Authority, full government name.
Yes, we run the buses.
Yeah, we do.
So you consider that like your first like big boy job then?
Yeah.
Okay. Love it. And then, so as far as my understanding, you're not in the same role currently as you were when you first started.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about that, walking through the company and what that experience was like.
Yeah. So honestly, what's wild is I started as a temporary employee with Tarda, and it wasn't even like a 3-month contract to hire. Mm-hmm. It was a 3-month contract with no promise of renewal.
Okay.
So it was really me working for this temp agency, Aston Carter, and they filled me in the role for Tarda. I did not know it was Tarda or what the role would be. I just knew it was an administrative assistant.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I could learn a lot in this role. And if it's for 3 months and I didn't like it, then you can't say I didn't try making this business thing work.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I hadn't had office experience before. So I really wanted that.
For sure.
So I said yes, even though I didn't know what company it'd be. And then I had my interview with the company as like my final round interview. And it was with my soon to be boss. And so when I interviewed, it was a brief interview. And then she asked me, like, do you know about Tarda? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I do. And she's like, okay, do you know about TARPS? And I was like, I don't know what that is. And so that is the paratransit service that Tarda provides for the ADA disabled community or anyone who qualifies for that services. It's door-to-door pickup service that you can schedule in advance.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So great.
And so I was like, oh, like, I didn't even know that was like a thing that we had. And she was like, yeah, not many people know about it. So that was really how I got in the door, was with TARPS, a division of Tarda that runs the paratransit service. And so I started as a temp. And as soon as I started, day one, I remember telling my mom, I'm like, maybe I need to call and say, like, I can't do it. Like, because I was so anxious. I'm like, what is office life? I don't know. And
right.
I was 20 years old. And I'm like, what am I getting myself into?
Right.
And my mom was like, well, at your previous job, mind you, I worked for Hilton Hotels during the pandemic, working for a hotel.
Yes, front does.
hey, ready to check in? working for a hotel company during the pandemic was really bad. It was really hard, and it showed me how terrible people can be. And how terrible, like when Starbucks showed me how just that little kindness goes a long way, I wish some of our guests would show me that little kindness.
Yeah.
But some of them didn't want to wear their masks. Some of them, and you know, like, those people just couldn't be helped. You could not reach some of those people.
I literally cannot imagine doing that job after seeing some of the TikTok horror stories from, like, front desk people filming their experience.
No, it's terrible. Like, I wish I filmed some of it because it's so not real. Like, the way I experienced so many things.
Yeah.
I experienced fires. I experienced, like, a kidnapping. I experienced,
God.
I experienced party, drugs. Like, I had to, you're telling me a 19-year-old has to knock on the and say, like, excuse me, but you're doing drugs on our property and you're gonna have to leave.
Right.
And then they
just
slam
the door.
You're
like, I'm a baby. I'm a baby.
I'm so new to this. And they just slam the door in my face. And
okay,
so then
write a tell all about your time at Hilton.
So you can imagine, like, with that experience, I was ready for the next thing. I'm like, okay, like, this can't be worse. Yeah, going back to TARPS, it was my first day, and then I got involved throughout the week of trying to understand TARPS and Tarda, and I realized there's really a lot to learn here, and I could really absorb so much, and I could do so much better as a person in this community to understand the importance of public transportation, as well as transportation that is set aside for those with disabilities, that provides them access to everyday things like doctor's appointments, grocery stores, seeing their loved ones, meeting up for that Starbucks with your girl.
Yeah, real.
And yapping. So.
You never realize, I feel like, how important public transportation is until you don't, like, your car breaks down or something, and then it's like, then what do I do? And so it's like so amazing that there are services available for people, especially, you know, the disabled community. That's great. I mean, it's really great.
Right. And so, I mean, a big part of that role that I loved so much was it introduced me to working directly with the disabled community.
Yeah.
It taught me a lot about different diagnoses. So I would receive a lot of medical information about some of these people who were applying, because that's part of our application process. So I would learn more about some of these disabilities and some of these diagnoses. And I realized my father is diagnosed with schizophrenia. And I learned a lot more about schizophrenia interacting with some of these clients. And it gave me so much more understanding that I needed to give my father grace in so many areas of my life that I held over him. That I felt that he wasn't a good father. And it just made me realize, like, it's not his fault. And at the time, I made it his fault. And I told him. And so it really brought me closer to my father. And we have, like, I would say a really great relationship now. Aww. And before it felt so, like, I was disappointed, like I needed a better father in my life. But yeah. I feel so ashamed to have even thought that.
That's so special, though, that you had that realization. I mean, what a sign to tell you that you're in the right job, right?
Yeah, that's really powerful. Yeah.
To help you connect with your family member. So, yeah, I learned a lot more about working with the disabled community. I really liked it. I learned all about transit from that perspective as well. So I feel like that's such a great introduction to transit as well, coming from a fully accessible mindset for transit. And then I was hired, believe it or not.
Eight.
I am there. So I was hired. So the person was on FMLA for quite a while, and then they decided to quit. So, I mean, really, shout out to Angela for quitting, because that gave me my opportunity to really shine. So, yeah, then I got more involved with TARPS. Our CEO, Laura Kaprowski, when she got promoted to CEO, then had a lot of opportunities to interact with me, I think, for several different events. I was the type of person that when I started, I was hustling to do things and to be seen.
Right.
Because where Hilton, I couldn't be seen, Tarda, I could be seen. And the community could see me and get to know me.
Yeah.
So I was hustling and I was working so hard to be seen, not only internally, but also externally, to be seen as Alex and to be seen as Tarda.
For sure.
So I feel like that increasing involvement is what led to our CEO, Laura, pulling me aside and saying, like, hey, I see what you're doing and you're doing incredible work. Thank you so much for what you're doing. And my secretary is retiring in a few months. Would you like to come work with me? And I'm like, yeah.
You're like, it's me?
Yeah,
I was like, I'm the chosen one?
I'm the drama. So, yeah, then I started working with Laura as the executive assistant to the CEO. There's a couple months of transition there.
For sure.
Yeah.
And that's amazing, though, that you've been able to kind of span so many different areas of Tarda and TARPS. You know, I think you've been a part of some other big projects there too, like the Jeep Fest ambassador team or the Board of Trustees wall. So some of these bigger projects, how did you feel that your role in them or your contributions were taken based on, one, your company position, but also your age? Because you're very young, I would imagine, in comparison to some of your other coworkers.
Yes. So in the role, when I started with TARPS, I was started at the age of 20. I was by far Tarda's youngest employee, ever. and still, I am one of their youngest employees, if not still the youngest. And when I got to do those projects, which actually both of them I was the project leader of.
Okay.
those two projects were instrumental in the CEO literally calling me out saying, you've led this and you led this and I asked you to do both and you've done incredible.
That's awesome.
Being the Jeep Fest coordinator for Tarda of all of our transit ambassadors, that was one of my biggest projects that I had in that role. And by far, that was the number one thing Laura had revered, like, you did incredible. And hearing that really validated all of the work and time I put into that. We had around 40 volunteers from Tarda, so I had to like train them on how to do things too. So my involvement in both of those projects was really to be like the overall decider and executor of tasks and delegating of tasks. And it was a really strategic moment for me in my career at Tarda, because it showed me what leadership could do for me and what I could do in a leadership capacity of these projects. And it showed me that I really liked it.
I was gonna say, it sounds like it came very natural to you.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it was something I was nervous about, and I had to counsel, I had to seek counsel from some of my colleagues that I really respected that would also lead similar projects. So they're the ones who really gave me, I think, the final bits of confidence that I needed to accomplish those projects and tasks.
Well, and that's so amazing that you can work at this company, because it's a big company and you can work there and you can have people really in your corner despite your age. You know, I think a lot of the time it takes a long time to get those bigger leadership roles. And so it's really amazing that you were able to get your foot in the door that way, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've also been recognized by Tarda for your work with the community inclusion department, but that also seems to be a theme within your work outside of Tarda too, with your board director position for Equality Toledo. So I want to ask you, what to you makes a good activist or ally, and how can people get better?
I think what would make a good ally is to be well-versed in some of the information. I think there's a lot of information that can float around about the LGBTQ community. And I think doing your part to read up on what's the most important for you to know. Certainly, you do not need to know what demisexual means, but to just know it exists.
But if you do, power to you.
Right. If you do, thank you. I appreciate you. But like so many times, like also... A great thing for an ally would be not to make the pan joke when I say I'm pansexual. Like, I do not like cookware.
That is literally, that's the first thing my father said to me when I came out. He's like, pots and pans? I'm like, no, babe, not quite.
Let's get rid of that joke.
It's an antique. We're done.
Right. So I think my biggest thing would be, just to make sure you're like well studied. And I, especially, I think advice I have given to parents of young of queer youth or young LGBTQ plus people, I have often told them, like, give yourself grace in learning these things and knowing that even if it feels uncomfortable for you, it's not that you should feel so ashamed that you feel uncomfortable. You feel uncomfortable because you don't know better.
For sure.
So once you start to learn better, which, to quote Maya Angelou, once you know better, do better. And so that's an amazing opportunity to learn about the queer community in an open-minded way. And then you can do better for your kid. But don't beat yourself up just because you're like, I'm worried that them liking boys will mean they get beat up. I'm like, that's a valid concern for you as a parent. Right. So don't put that on yourself.
Right.
So that would be my biggest thing for allyship. And then for activism, I would say just make sure that what you are supporting or promoting, you understand fully, because your digital footprint is something that you can't easily change, as well as what you say matters to people. And so when you are supporting different groups or different initiatives, just be mindful of, does that align with what you believe and what you think? Or is that just popular? Or is that just something you were made to believe is a good thing to be supporting?
Right, like so, jumping on the bandwagon of it all.
So just make sure you fully understand what it is you're advocating for. And when it comes to the queer community, definitely be mindful that I think there can be some mixed messaging with groups that are actually really harmful towards the queer community, but they try to paint this face on as if they do support the queer community.
Right. Definitely. That's great advice. Thank
really
you.
Great advice.
Of course.
Also, I want to talk about, you were recently inducted as the Rotor Act president.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Which actually, we just had the former president, Isabella White, on.
Madam.
Madam.
She goes by Mimi now.
Oh,
so
love
it's
it.
Isabella Mimi White.
Aww,
that's so cute.
I love that. Yeah, so we like talked about what that meant to her, but I'm curious what it means to you and, you know, what the future of Rotor Act looks like.
Oh my gosh. Well, this is, I think, maybe my favorite topic that we could be discussing on the pod right now. But doing this with Isabella during her presidency leading Rotor Act has been such a huge opportunity for me and quite an honor. I learned so much, not only from her leadership in helping create and build up this group together, but also I learned another type of leadership that I don't necessarily get to see at TARDA all the time. And I think that's just because Isabella is in a unique position to being definitely a business girl, a business girly and a boss, but also to be a huge mindfulness girly. You know, and she has so much love and light, it is to who she is. So I think working with Isabella to help build on Rotor Act when she was president was really interesting to me, because I saw this leadership of, it's okay to not always be so professional. Sometimes you can show who you are, and that is perfectly fine, and honestly should be celebrated more.
I feel like that's something Gen Z does really well.
You bring yourself into the role. You don't mold yourself for the role.
Definitely.
And I think that's something really important to be reminded of, especially in leadership roles. So seeing Isabella building on this group and seeing how she built this group was really inspiring to me. And so I think then transitioning into this role now as mm-hmm. president, it just feels like it's come full circle. Like I've learned so much from Isabella and as well as from Tarda and those around me of leadership and of being involved in the community that now I can put in the work of also guiding the rest of Rotaract and giving them the knowledge that I learned.
I love it. It's great.
Yeah. Well, and we do have our favorite segment coming up, the Roman Empire.
Okay.
But we just want to ask one last question, which is, what advice do you have for other Gen Zers or young professionals in the area?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I have learned several things in my few short years in my career at Tarda and with Rotaract and my recent involvement. I've absorbed a lot of different bits of advice from those around me. So I think then my advice to other Gen Zers or other young professionals getting involved would be to not take for granted the small opportunities that exist around you, to say yes more often and figure out how you're going to handle it. And also be open-minded to the opportunities that people can bring you and the relationships that people can build with you and what that connection can do for you and for them. It's not always what can an experience do for me solely, but also how can I impact them and how can I impact their experience too.
That's beautiful advice. Yeah. I love that.
Thank you.
I also started chuckling a little because I started thinking of Noah Centineo doing the, it's ask not what you do for others, but what you make of what you do with, and then just pausing and like thinking in his brain, right. What am I saying?
Right. No, my real advice is you exist in the context of all that is and what has come before you.
And we did just fall out the coconut tree.
Absolutely. Bump on the head.
But it is time for the Roman Empire. I am dying to know what you have on the slate, but I am going to kick it over to Libby first today.
I'm up first. Okay. Mine, okay, as you know, summer is starting to kind of wind down here. I have been thinking about the summer that we were all playing Pokemon Go.
Period. Oh, yeah, yep. 2016?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I don't think I'll ever have a better summer. We were all out and about. We were focused on our Pokemon. There was no problem.
That
as far
had great
as
marketing,
concerned.
Too, because it's like we were all so active. Like, right. We were just frolicking.
Right.
Like, it was great.
I mean, we were also, like, going places we probably shouldn't have been.
That
but...
too. Hey, we can just skip right by that.
No, because I know for a fact I was at Cedar Point. Like, okay, now that I'm at Cedar Point in a new location, what's going on? Which ones can I catch?
I know it took me a while to delete it off my phone. I really held out.
I think some people are still playing it.
Yeah.
And I love that for them.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But me, I grew up in Sandusky, so being around Cedar Point, like, it's funny that you said that because there was always like so much going on.
New
I'm
little
like,
creatures.
I am catching them all, baby.
Yeah, catch them all.
I didn't know any of their names, but absolutely.
But they were cute. Like, I'm loving
right,
them.
Right.
Okay, Alex, hit us up with yours.
I feel like I have so many right now. So, yes, Cafe Bustelo definitely has to be one of my Roman Empires.
Thanks, Brittany Broski.
Yes, thank you. Another one has to be Brat by Charlie XCX.
Yes.
I am living in a Brat summer for sure.
I know. Our executive producer loves when we say we're having a Brat summer.
Yes, it is Brat summer. I've been enjoying it so much. I feel like I just go to Brat all the time when I just want to vibe out.
Oh, yeah.
I really love it. And I can't stop talking about it. Like,
truth.
I just can't. And so then also... consequently, another Roman Empire would be the Kamala memes with Brat.
Yes. Oh my gosh,
so,
yeah.
Like
they're so fun.
My TikTok profile picture is literally context as the Brat album, but context.
That's hilarious. No, people are getting really creative this cycle, mm-hmm, I feel. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
I love seeing everything so green.
It's been really fun.
Brat.
I know, right? Everything is so Brat.
Yes, so
but
Brat.
Here's what I will say.
So
that is a great Roman Empire and one that I might steal, except my Roman Empire today is going to be spoiler containing about Deadpool and Wolverine. So if you have not watched Deadpool and Wolverine by now, first of all,
right
what
now.
Are you doing?
Well, yeah, that part. That part. Then
but also right. Get off. Yep. Stop listening. Listen to our next episode or something. I don't know. Yep. But here's what I really want to talk about is all of the cameos in that movie.
Okay.
Oh, my Lanta. And I'm sorry because I know, Libs, you haven't seen it yet. So I am
no,
genuinely
it's okay.
spoiling
I'm
for you.
No.
But
I know about one so far.
The one main one that I really wanted, and I know this is like a cheap shot, but it's the one I really wanted, which was Blake Lively as Lady Deadpool.
I'm so excited to see it now.
Oh my gosh. Well, you never see her face, to be fair,
no.
but But you do hear her lovely, beautiful voice, and it fantastic. bringing back Jennifer Garner's Elektra, bringing back Blade. I mean, we got Blade. It was crazy. You know, I mean, Channing Tatum had the failed Gambit movie. We got him in this one. This was great. And the dialect coach comments were hilarious. Like, I'm sorry. I genuinely had to turn to my friend four times and say, what is he saying right now? Mm-hmm. I cannot tell. And I also really loved all of the nods to Blake Lively. Can y'all tell I love Blake Lively?
Oh, my God.
All the nods to Blake, like the Gossip Girl joke. Mm-hmm. A little dirty, so I won't repeat it here, but go see it and you'll know. And then, you know, when Wolverine makes a slightly double entendre comment, I'm telling Blake.
Yes.
It's just so funny. All of the cameos were so well placed. You can tell that they weren't even doing it for the money grab either. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt very genuine.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
It felt kind of like what the old Marvel felt like, mm-hmm. like the rush of going back to opening night and watching the movie and seeing all the cameos and getting excited. So I will say I did love it. Thought it was very entertaining. And, you know, let me know who your favorite cameos are. Like, comment, subscribe. But anyway, thank you so much, Alex. We loved your Roman Empire. We loved hearing more about you. We appreciate
you so much for
being
here.
Yes, thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity. I loved getting to know you both more.
Love to.
Yeah.
We want to thank Alex Huffaker, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the lovely Chris Pfeiffer.
If you have any questions, comments, or just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
Bye, besties.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.